If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Levi's, Plow & Hearth, Adidas, Sephora, and Neiman Marcus. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. And it's easy to use. And you get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's Rakuten, Rakuten.com.
Well, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome back to In Liberty and Health. I apologize for, as I call it, the Forrest Whitaker eye. I got a sty in my eye, and it's been kind of painful. So my right side eyelid is a little bit swollen, but you know, that won't harm the quality of my wonderful soothing voice. At least I hope not. So anyways, we are going to talk about TikTok today. I've talked about it a little bit before on other podcasts and on here, but I haven't done quite a full dive on it, so I figured it'd be appropriate. I got a couple articles pulled up, so this one will be a little bit more reading heavy, but you guys will be able to keep up. I'll put all the links below once I'm all done with this stuff. I hope everybody enjoyed the other shows that I had this week and all the shows that I've done recently. I was on Black Flag podcast again, Biting the Bullet a couple weeks ago, Josh Smith's Break the Cycle. I was on Two Tongues as well. I think that's all that I've done recently. But obviously, go check all those shows out. I have a playlist saved on my YouTube channel under just Comatopic Podcasts. But yeah, so we'll pull up a few articles. We'll look through some stuff on TikTok. And if you guys got comments, I'll do my best to answer them and give you my thoughts on that. And I think Sunday's podcast is going to be a lot of fun. I have an idea of what I want to do for that one. But we're here to talk about TikTok. So I guess without further ado, let's get right into it.
What is up, everybody? My name is Kyle Matovic. I am the host of the In Liberty and Health podcast, where we talk all things liberty, health and wellness, and beyond. My hope is to encourage and spread the message of liberty and physical and mental well-being. I hope you enjoy all the topics we talk about with our guests. We're on all major streaming platforms, so please sit back, relax, and enjoy.
Man, I'm doing as good as anyone can do getting buried by his 13-year-old son on leg day.
I'm not going to apologize for not being on this podcast because I got to go see Metallica. So if that's a problem, kiss my ass.
Okay? I am.
All right.
One more time, good afternoon, good morning, good evening, whenever you're listening to this. We're going to be talking about TikTok today. Like I said in the intro, I haven't quite dedicated a full show to this, and I feel like it deserves its own show because it's been a little bit of a topic. Kind of faded recently due to like the Candace Owens stuff. I'll probably cover that a little bit on Sunday, but I wanted to talk about TikTok today because, like I said, I feel like I haven't dedicated a full show to it. But before we do that, I wanted to kind of throw out there that I've just been loving the new Seven Dust and the new Phil Campbell and the Bastard Sons albums. They came out sometime last year. If I remember correctly, the Phil Campbell album came out more towards the end of last year, and Seven Dust came out about halfway through the year. Both those albums are absolutely fantastic, and I've just really, really enjoyed them and been listening to them a whole ton. My YouTube music's been a little bit weird, so what I'll typically do when I go to work out or like go for a walk or just design my playlist for listening to work throughout the day, I'll line up like five or six albums and just put them on shuffle. But what YouTube Music started doing now is like cutting it short after so many songs, which just really, really makes me angry because like I listen to whole albums. I want to listen to everything in my playlist. I don't want to just listen to you know, the 20 or 30 songs that they choose. And I'm typically in the gym for about hour and a half or so, you know, that's a decent bit of songs that you could listen to in that time. So Anyways, it's kind of frustrating me. If you guys have questions about TikTok or you want to talk heavy metal today, I'm all about it. But regardless, thank you guys so much for being here tonight. I will be on Cognitive Vigilance at 8:30 p.m. Eastern time. We're going to have Ryan Stone returning, which I think is going to be a really, really fun show. He's been very, very entertaining to follow, and I got to get him back on. I've been thinking about that a lot today, so I don't know, maybe I'll reach out to him and see when he's available to do the show again. But TikTok. TikTok is kind of an app that revolutionized the way that a lot of people look at media currently, because it really put short form content to the forefront again, where like podcasts are still relatively popular, but a lot of people are getting their news media a lot through TikTok now. And it's kind of funny because I can't tell you how many people will tell you the Chinese Communist Party is infiltrating our government, and here's a TikTok to prove it. So we'll talk about that a little bit more throughout the show, but this has come across my radar, and I should perhaps give out some caveats first. My wife loves TikTok. Pretty much everybody I work with loves TikTok, especially like the younger guys that I work with. They really, really like it. I've never used it. I watch the videos if they're sent to me, but I don't personally have a TikTok. I'm not paid by the Chinese Communist Party, although that would be pretty nice at this point. But no, I just kind of live to dispute bullshit, because I really can't stand people who lie or tell misinformation, especially for the sake of sending my good fellow Americans overseas to die for Taiwan or for American hegemony. And I think that's a lot of what this podcast is about, is just defying anti-imperialism, or defying imperialism and defying the empire as we know it. So I guess let's start kind of reading through articles here. I have a couple pulled up, and I think I kind of had like an order that I wanted to go in, but we'll just kind of see how this goes. Let me make sure this all looks good. Put myself here. Who owns TikTok's parent company, ByteDance? So, for those who aren't familiar, TikTok is owned by a company called ByteDance, which they've been thrown out as a, you know, this deep affiliate with the CCP. And it's funny that when people say CCP, they're actually saying the title of the Chinese Communist Party incorrectly. It's actually the Chinese, the Communist Party of China. Jeez, I'm sorry, I can't talk. Old Joe, good to see you, brother. I hope my bench pressing tip last night with typo. Luke helped you out. Just slowly rehab that, and you'll be back up to 300 in no time. I'm fairly confident. So who owns TikTok's parent company, ByteDance? And this is from TikTok US Data Security. So just that there alone should kind of give you the hint that, like, I really don't think TikTok wants to violate their business here in the US, no matter how bad the CCP may want the data of Americans. And like, to that point as well, I wasn't going to start ranting on this, but you know, as soon as you turn me up a little bit, I'm just going. What would China do with your private information? I mean, like, the Chinese government, if they were to start if they were to start abusing Americans' data, then they would face sanctions from America, more than likely, you know, more than they already have, and tariffs, and people would just, the US government wouldn't tolerate it at all. So that being said, like, the benefit from China getting our data, really, like, I don't see the full circle thing here. And all the data that China can get from TikTok, the US government already has access to that data. I'm going to be much more concerned about what the US can do with the data that they have on us versus China. Because, like, what's China going to do? China's going to sell you some cheap goods. They'll sell you a cheap pen, a notebook, a microphone, a camera, whatever. Let me catch up with these real quick. Eddie, good to see you, brother. Conrail, you too. Glad you guys are in the chat. But yeah, like, what is China really going to do with our data if they... even if they can get it? So TikTok's parent company, ByteDance, was founded by Chinese entrepreneurs. ByteDance is a privately held global company with roughly 60% owned by global institution investors such as BlackRock, General Atlantic, Susquehanna International Group. 20% is owned by its company founders, and 20% is owned by its employees, including over 7,000 Americans. It is not owned or controlled by any government or state entity. So right there, you hear all the Republicans hand-waving and losing their mind about China controlling and pulling the strings of ByteDance. But I mean, the company isn't strictly owned by China or by ByteDance for that matter, as they kind of lay out here. They quite, they do a lot of divesting and are owned by quite a lot of different people, companies, and all that kind of stuff. So this threat is just so overblown. And if you listen to this show for any period of time, you know that I am here to just shatter every single narrative from the you know, US empire about China, because that is, as Anthony Blinken, Jake Sullivan, Lloyd Austin, all the people in the Biden administration, mainly Democrats, are all here to sell you on a war with China. I would like to turn that tide, and that is a very, very noble goal. I don't know if I'll be successful, but I'm going to do everything I can to speak out against it, because I do believe that war is the worst thing in the world. It is the mass slaughter of people for money, and I think that's bad. And I think that most people, if they were exposed to the truth, would probably largely agree. Jay Forte, what's worse, the U.S. stealing my data and can arrest me, or some Chinaman? No Chinese ever called me an N. Well, I also never called you non-essential, which is funny as well, which Donald Trump allowed to happen on his watch, but we're not going to talk about that here today. So let me move this over to the Pew Research Center. More Americans are getting news on TikTok, bucking the trend seen on most other social media sites. So the other articles that I have are pretty wordy, so I don't want to dive to, you know what, I could probably read this. It's not going to take too long. A small but growing share of U.S. adults say they regularly get news on TikTok. This is in contrast with many other social media sites where news consumption has either declined or stayed about the same in recent years. In just 3 years, the share of U.S. adults who say they regularly get news from TikTok has more than quadrupled from 3% in 2020 to 14% in 2023. So here they have a graph of a third of U.S. adults under 30 regularly get their news from TikTok. And they kind of have the trends here. So in 2020, 3% of total adults got their news from TikTok, 6% in 2021, 10% in 2022, all the way up to 14% in 2023. So it's still a relatively small fraction. But when you start breaking it down by age, 32% of that share is 18 to 29, 15% is 30 to 49, 7% is 50 to 64, and only 3% is 65 plus. And that's for the year of 2023 and where people get their news, the age range of people who get their news from TikTok. Among adults, those ages 18 to 29 are most likely to say they regularly get news on TikTok. About a third of Americans in this group, 32%, say they regularly get news there, a higher share than in years before. This compares with 15% of those ages 30 to 49, 7% of those 50 to 64, and just 3% of 65 and older. So just kind of breaking down the demographics there. Most of TikTok's U.S. adult users are getting their news there as well. Currently, 43% of TikTok users say they regularly get news on the site, up from 33% who said the same in 2022. TikTok users are now just as likely to get news from TikTok as Facebook users are to get news from Facebook. Still, TikTok users are less likely than users of X, formerly Twitter, to get news on the site. So this graph I actually thought was really, 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 really interesting. So I'm going to zoom in on this. Sorry, I was just breezing back over through your comments. So let me zoom in on this, and you know what? I'll address you guys' comments here real quick. I'm sure Kyle may talk about this in a little bit, but I still find it interesting that TikTok controversy really dialed up when the Osama bin Laden letter was being read. no, sorry if I spoiled. No, actually you didn't. And I wasn't going to cover that, but that is very interesting. And, a lot of people have pointed to this, and I think there's definitely some truth to that, where, basically, a lot of the idea was that TikTok had really got the dials turned up on it because of a lot of the anti-Israel sentiments coming from TikTok. Kyle, wish I could listen longer. Headed into Bible study, we'll definitely check it out later. Well, go enjoy that, man. I'm sure that's going to be difficult, but worth it. So, as always, I appreciate you dropping by either way, Kyle. Take care, brother. He is the one whose podcast I was on, Kyle. He runs the Two Tongues podcast. I was on that Tuesday night, so go check that out. We talked a lot about libertarianism, open borders and closed borders, a little bit about religion too. I thought it was a pretty cool show, and I kind of ran and raved about Pantera as well. So that's that. So going back to this chart, let me zoom in on this so that way everybody can kind of see what the hell is going on here. And hopefully that zooms in for you guys. A little bit. Okay. So on here it says from 2020 to 2023, the amount of people who got their news from Twitter went down from 59% in 2020 to 53% in 2023, which is kind of interesting because I think that's mostly kind of what people go to Twitter for, is for news, because it's such a fast-paced platform where you can constantly get updated about stuff and you can see statements from officials in live time. From Facebook, 54% in 2020 to 43% in 2023. Reddit was at 42, which seems kind of surprising to me. 42 down to 38. YouTube stayed at 32%. Instagram went from 28 to 34%, which is actually interesting in my opinion. Snapchat from 19% to 15%, which I don't know who's getting their news from Snapchat. LinkedIn from 15% to 17%, which I kind of have noticed that like LinkedIn's a little bit more of a relevant platform lately. WhatsApp didn't really change, 13 to 12% from 2020 to 2023. Twitch 11% to 17%, and then Nextdoor, which I never even heard of that, 23 to 28%. But if you're looking at this chart, the largest jump and the most linear increase is TikTok, because as I mentioned, from 2020 to 2023, their share of people who get their, or percentage of social media sites users who regularly get their news from there is went from 2020 at 22% to 43% in 2023. And this is a survey of US adults conducted September 25th to October 1st in 2023 from the Pew Research Center, which I think is pretty dang interesting that more and more people are getting their news from TikTok. Perhaps I'll editorialize a little bit here and then we'll go back to the other stuff. But I actually don't think this is a good thing. I do think that short form content kind of incentivizes people to buy be hyperbolic and make really, really bold claims on sometimes thin data to get engagement. And this is my problem with what I call engagement brokers on Twitter, basically people who just say stuff and will lie or stir up controversy just for the sake of engagement. And I really don't like that. I try to be honest with my listeners, and hopefully you guys see that, and hopefully you guys have that, you know, estimation of me. I can only hope that I do that so much. But I don't like sensationalizing stuff. I like giving people the information and allowing them to make up their own minds, because I can't sufficiently manipulate you. I can hardly even sufficiently manipulate myself to commit to a diet for long periods of time. That's not to say I'm not successful in anything, but like, I think we all know that like we have our own difficulties doing things and committing to things over a long period of time. And sometimes, you know, that is in the form of diet or other habits that you need to break. So like, imagine trying to get to somebody else to do that. You really can't. So the best that I can do and hope for is that I give you the information and that you're better off because of it. So let me run an ad real quick and we will just get right back into it. All right, guys, we are going to take a quick break from the show to tell you about the show's sponsor. We are now brought to you by Fox and Sons Coffees. You can see right here, I got the Den Blend Dark. Really enjoy that. I've been drinking a lot of their Brazil Honey Prep. Right here, as you can hear, there's not a lot of beans left in it because I've been drinking it quite a bit. Just to tell you a little bit about Fox and Sons, why I support them and why you should too, is that Stephen had started the company up in Michigan to help teach his son about entrepreneurship. I'm all about that, and I do firmly believe that in order to spread liberty in our lifetimes, we have to support those who support similar values as us. And Stephen does support all the same libertarian values that I bring and talk about on the show a lot. So go to foxandsons.com, use code Kyle at checkout to get 15% off of orders $25 or more, and there's always free shipping whenever you place an order that is more than $37.99. Find their coffee absolutely fantastic, and I'm sure you will too. So one more time, go to foxandsons.com, use code Kyle at checkout to get yourself a little discount, let them know I sent you, and support the coffee that supports you. All right, guys, thanks. Back to the show. All right, so the other thing that people always throw out at TikTok is that they're, once again, a Chinese-owned company. And actually, the owners, if I remember correctly, and we'll kind of clear this up in this article that I'm about to read, are actually live in Singapore and are Singaporean. So I'm not exactly sure the Singapore's relationship with the rest of the world, but let's kind of dig into this here. I did threads on this before, but I wanted to just kind of clear this up. So what to know about TikTok owner ByteDance as the U.S. considers a possible ban. This is published a couple weeks ago, March 13th, 2024. The House of Representatives voted to pass a measure Wednesday that could lead to the forced sale or ban of video sharing app TikTok in the United States amid concerns that the Chinese-owned platform could be used to monitor or and manipulate Americans. The fight over TikTok, which says it has 170 million U.S. users.
Unlock big savings and add style and security to your home with high-quality Schlage door locks from Menards. Whether you're looking for a traditional interior lock or a Wi-Fi compatible electronic lock, Menards has you covered. With more than 200 options of Schlage door locks in stock, save big on all door locks. And don't forget to check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money
at Menards. This represents growing fears over China's influence in the United States, especially in an election year. A nationwide ban, if it goes into full effect, could pose an existential threat to one of China's most successful internet companies. So it's kind of funny that they frame it that way, even though it's not strictly a Chinese company, as that we covered beginning of the show. The bipartisan legislation, the future of which will be decided in the Senate, will give TikTok's owner, the Beijing-based ByteDance, half a year to sell the short-form video platform or face a ban on the Apple and Google app stores and web hosting services in the United States. President Biden had said he would sign legislation into law if it passes Congress. So this kind of gets to another point that I make a lot, is that like this faux stance that Biden's so pro-China. And once again, if you listen to this show for any period of time, you know that is absolutely not the truth, because Biden has continued this giant arms race against China to stick it in their eyes and basically assert, you know, U.S. global hegemony all over even the East Asian countries. And, you know, a lot of his administration has been kind of focused on that. So listen to my shows with like Dave DeCamp, Connor Freeman, Pat McFarlane, Nick from the Revolutionary Blackout Network, him and I talked about that. Misty Winston, we all kind of talked about that. And obviously go listen to their shows as well if you are so inclined about foreign policy stuff. But the idea that Biden is some, you know, China dove or is owned by China has just always been absolutely ridiculous. What is ByteDance, the Chinese company that owns TikTok? ByteDance was founded in 2012 out of a four-bedroom apartment in northern Beijing. Its founder, Zhang Yiming, was then a 29-year-old software engineer turned entrepreneur whose vision was to use big data and machine learning to analyze and curate content according to user preferences. ByteDance is sometimes nicknamed the App Factory, given how prolific it has been in most recent years. One of ByteDance's earliest and most popular products is the AI-powered news aggregator Jinri Tuaishuo. I probably completely butchered that. Largely used in China. In 2016, the company launched a short video app, Douyin, which is also hugely popular in China. In 2017, the company launched the international version of that app known as TikTok. TikTok is widely seen as the first Chinese app to go global, and ByteDance valued at $268 billion in December as one of China's most successful internet companies. A release issued last May by TikTok stated that 60% of ByteDance is beneficially owned by global institutional investors such as Carlyle Group, General Atlantic, Susquehanna International Group, with about 20% owned by ByteDance employees around the world, and the rest is owned by its founder. So once again, they kind of gave the truth there, but as you can see, the Washington Post even still kind of frames this in a way that like TikTok is being completely pulled by the strings of the big old scary China. Why is ByteDance controversial in the United States? TikTok has become a target of some U.S. legislators who see it as a potential national security threat amid worsening relations between Washington and Beijing. ByteDance has repeatedly said that it has never shared U.S. data of U.S. users with the Chinese authorities, but U.S. lawmakers point out that the company could be required to turn over information to the government under Chinese law. Lawmakers have yet to present any evidence of TikTok's alleged national security risks. Right there, lawmakers have yet to present any evidence of TikTok's alleged national security risks. So there were articles that people have sent me saying that people's data was compromised. But my understanding was, and it even said in the articles that were sent, that those employees were fired because they violated the company's terms. And we're also kind of going to get into what the U.S. has kind of done to prevent this. In a hearing in March 2023 before the House Committee on Energy and Commerce, TikTok CEO Xiaozi Chu said TikTok, as a U.S. company incorporated in the United States, is subject to the laws of the United States. It has made efforts to address the concerns of U.S. authorities about TikTok's heritage. Let me state this unequivocally. ByteDance is not an agent of China or any other country, he said in a statement. The company has sought approval for its U.S. subsidiary to handle the management and oversight of protected U.S. user data and the systems that power TikTok in the United States. Under an initiative known as Project Texas, the subsidiary called TikTok U.S. Data Security would report to an independent board, not to the leadership of TikTok or ByteDance, TikTok said. Under the plan, which has not been approved by U.S. authorities, data belonging to U.S. users would be stored by the Austin-headquartered technology company Oracle, with the ability to communicate with the global TikTok service in controlled and monitored ways. So we're going to get to the company Oracle here in a minute. I just want to make sure that we're all good on this front and kind of clear up the owner and go on from there. Let me see. Some experts have cautioned that a forced sale or ban, if passed, could face challenges in U.S. courts. As Washington Post previously reported, a separate effort by Donald Trump to force the ban or sale of TikTok in 2020 was blocked by federal courts who ruled government had not adequately proved that the app presented a national security threat, which I still don't think it has. ByteDance's products have also come under more regulation from Chinese authorities. In 2018, it was forced to shutter an app reserved for jokes called Nian Duanzi that had created a cult following but was seen by regulators as vulgar. Zhang apologized publicly for failing to promote positive energy and grasp correct guidance of public opinion. It's just kind of like social justice bullshit there. Playing Helldivers 2, watching podcasts. This is life. Well, folks, I appreciate you dropping by. Let me know in the comments, how is Helldivers 2? Because I've seen everybody playing this. Everybody's talking about it. And I think I may have to hop on and play it. I don't know anything about it. I've just seen videos of it. It looks good. So I don't know. Let me know what you think of it. And I know I see Pat McFarlane playing it. And maybe I'll have to hop on with him and we'll just do a stream and kind of shoot the shit. He's such a good dude and I always enjoy just talking to him. Who's the founder of ByteDance? Zhang, the soft-spoken founder of ByteDance, grew up in the city of Longyan in the southwestern Chinese province of Fujian. He studied software engineering at Nankai University of Tianjin, where he fixed other students' computers and set up websites for extra money. So a pretty conscientious dude. After graduating, Zhang worked on a search engine for plane tickets as well as a microblogging platform before joining Microsoft. He left after half a year because he was bored, according to an interview he gave in 2014. After Microsoft, he founded a real estate platform before starting ByteDance. In a 2015 speech, Zhang said the idea for ByteDance emerged when he noticed that fewer people were reading newspapers on the subway. He said he realized that phones had become a main means to disseminate information and demand for personalization would skyrocket. And as we saw in graphs earlier, more and more people are using TikTok to get their information and other social media apps. Best game I've played in decades. It's only $40 worth every penny. Okay, so I will download that tomorrow, and I think that's gonna be the move. Conrail, don't worry, I still play tons of classic World of Warcraft, so yeah, whenever I get a chance. Let me see. Zhang has said that he hopes his company can be as global as Google, but in a 2017 interview acknowledges the challenges. If when Chinese companies go overseas, they can overcome cultural problems, will the overseas market be huge? I'm both optimistic and pessimistic about this, he said. What is his relationship to TikTok CEO Xiaozi Chu? There's relatively little information available publicly about the relationship between Zhang and Chu, who became CEO of TikTok in 2021. In May of 2021, Zhang announced in a letter to employees that he would step down as CEO of ByteDance to focus on less day-to-day management, more long-term strategy. Liang Rubo, a ByteDance co-founder, was announced as the new CEO of ByteDance. As the Post previously reported. Oh no, I'm sorry. I skipped the paragraph. Last month, Chu told the Post that he is in charge of all TikTok strategic decisions. but he said he routinely updates Liang on certain topics that I think he may have an interesting point of view just to make sure his perspective is complete. As the Post previously reported, Chu, a Singaporean national, there it is, who grew up in Singapore, studied economics in the United Kingdom before working at Goldman Sachs for 2 years. He then moved to the United States to get his master's degree at Harvard Business School. While student there, Chu interned at Facebook, and now a bitter competitor to TikTok, which is funny because now we see Facebook Reels, YouTube Shorts, all that stuff. Chu has said he was first introduced to DST Global, a venture capital firm that bet on major tech firms, including Facebook and Twitter, while he was working at Goldman Sachs. After graduating from Harvard, he worked with DST Global as a partner, where he helped coordinate one of the earliest investments in ByteDance by building relationships with its founding engineers, Zhang and Liang. So that is all that. Off of this article, I will do this real quick and remove this from stream. Yeah, I mean, as you can see here, a lot of the stuff about TikTok is just hype. And like that Washington Post article really tried to play it up, but as you see, they kind of even came up empty for a lot of this stuff, where like they didn't have a smoking gun that TikTok was using people's data nefariously. So I just hope this is coming through to you guys that like this is just a propaganda push. The main reason why the US government wants to go after TikTok so hard is just because they can't control it. And there have been so many narratives put up on TikTok, and it can spread like wildfire, the US just can't control. So and that they have shares with, you know, outside governments, outside institutions, so it's a little bit more difficult for the U.S. to rein in the narrative where, you know, basically the U.S. had, you know, rigged the election against Donald Trump in 2020 by using Facebook and by using Twitter. And then back in 2016, Trump had largely emboldened his base by using Twitter as well. So when they have an app like TikTok that they could really not control as easily as they can Facebook or Twitter, then you know, that has to be demonized at all costs, because we have to make sure that we're sticking it to the Chinese, and also that, you know, we stop the potential of people getting their own information or dissenting views of the empire. And one more time, I just want to say how ridiculous it is that you'll have people tell you how bad China is and how propagandized they are and how much TikTok is a spying app from a video on their phone from TikTok. Like, that happens so much, it makes your fucking head spin. I mean, I see it all the time. If you go on Facebook, there's always boomers sharing TikTok videos on there. So the last thing I want to share with you guys, and I'll answer questions, and as always, if you have super chats, I would be delighted. But don't give if you don't have anything to give, or if you don't feel like what I do is worthy, but always that's up to you guys. The US had agreed to a deal with Oracle, who has servers here in the US to store all private user data on those servers through Oracle. Because the complaint from the US government and everybody else is that TikTok can use your private data to store it and do nefarious things with it, but those nefarious things are never really laid out in whole based Oracle. Speaking of Oracles, I appreciate you dropping in, man. Thank you so much. I'm not sure I've seen you before in the chat, but hopefully you stick around a little bit, and hopefully you go check out my show. I'll probably be streaming on this channel. Maybe not. But Cognitive Vigilance tonight, I think that's going to be a fun show. Rhinestone is great. So let's share this, and then we'll kind of wrap after this. I need to put it back up here. So Oracle finally won TikTok's U.S. data storage business. So I've shared this quite a bit because people are still freaked out about this. Done deal. Oracle finally won TikTok's U.S. data storage business. So this was published in June 19th, 2022. So this is actually pretty old. 2 years ago, the Trump administration engineered a deal for Oracle to store all of TikTok's U.S. data, citing fears the Chinese-owned app would help Beijing spy on Americans. Oracle set out to win the TikTok data storage contract, leveraging U.S.-China antagonism and Oracle CEO Larry Ellison's personal relationship with Trump to inject new life into flagging data storage business. Now, thanks to a new TikTok data privacy scandal, Oracle has finally won TikTok's business. TikTok announced June 17th that it had changed the default storage location of U.S. user data, and 100% of U.S. user traffic is being routed to Oracle Cloud infrastructure. The announcement coincided with a BuzzFeed investigation that revealed TikTok employees in China controlled and routinely accessed private data from U.S. TikTok users between September 2021 and January 2022. Now, once again, as we just read from the Washington Post article, they never put forth any information on this, and there was no proof of that. Storing data from over 100 million U.S. TikTok users will be a boon for Oracle, which is once one of the world's biggest data hosts, but has struggled to catch up after rivals Amazon and Microsoft made early breakthroughs in cloud computing and took control of more than half the market between them. Trump's TikTok deal comes full circle. Let me just check as I read this. Make sure you guys aren't saying anything, saying, you know, I sound ridiculous or something. Trump's TikTok deal comes full circle. In August 2020, Trump made a legally and practically dubious threat to ban TikTok in the U.S., citing worries the Chinese government would use the data gathered to spy on U.S. citizens. By September, the Trump administration had engineered a deal in which TikTok parent company ByteDance agreed to sell a minority stake in the social media app to two very American companies, Oracle and Walmart, with Oracle taking over TikTok's U.S. data storage. After Trump lost the 2020 election in November, the TikTok deal entered a period of limbo and eventually fell apart when U.S. President Joe Biden took office. Biden revoked a Trump executive order banning TikTok in June 2021, but then launched his own investigation into the U.S. the app's data practices. Sorry, just want to make sure I'm keeping up with yens. By March 2022, ByteDance and Oracle had renewed negotiations for Oracle to take over U.S. TikTok's U.S. data storage, this time to allay the Biden administration's privacy concerns. After BuzzFeed detailed how the company's China-based employees controlled access to the U.S. TikTok's users' data in June, TikTok quickly announced that all U.S. private data, including users' phone numbers, birthdays, draft videos, are being stored in Oracle servers. The company also said that it hired Oracle to, quote-unquote, develop data management protocols that Oracle will audit and manage to give users even more peace of mind. BuzzFeed, however, reports that ByteDance employees in Beijing will still have access to public data about users' videos, comments, bios, allowing them to draw inferences about Americans' interests in politics. It's kind of funny that they said that because that's the same information that literally anybody could get anywhere because you share it publicly. So I guess it's a little bit of a shorter show, but I just wanted to kind of alleviate some people's concerns about TikTok. I really think people are just getting carried away about this stuff because people stop thinking objectively as soon as you say the words China, or the word China. So you say China, people stop thinking critically and they just go into like mental lockout mode and you can't have a coherent conversation with them anymore. So, yeah, I hope this was insightful. A little bit of a slower show today, I guess, a little bit more chill. I will be doing a Sunday coffee show, and I have an idea of what I'm going to talk about. And I think it will be a fun show. So as always, I appreciate everybody hanging out tonight. If you guys don't got anything else for me, any questions, I think I'm going to wrap here. In about an hour, I'll be live with Cognitive Vigilance. Brandy, Rhinestone, and Ren, obviously. I think it'll be a good show and a good time. Tommy dropped by right at the very end here about TikTok. It's like the Blues Clues of social media. Good night. Pretty much. You hand a bunch of retards short form content and then watch them eat it up. But yeah, so go check that stuff out to give a little bit of an update on A Common Crown. I appreciate Rachel Wilson, good friend of the show, boosting us today. That was really, really cool. I appreciate Rolo doing the same thing on his stream a couple months ago. Lots of good feedback on Cry and all that good stuff. We got a couple of new songs kind of in the works. I really, really like them. I don't want to say different, but definitely different for us, maybe. But I think they're going to be cool. I think you guys are going to enjoy it. We will be opening for Hinder here in the next couple, or in June after Rock for Life. So if you're in the southwestern Pennsylvania area, hit me up and we will get you to both those shows. I would love to see you there. And I would love to get out and about and play a couple different states. We'll kind of see if that happens. It's just going to depend on everybody's budget and everybody's schedule. But anyways, yeah, make sure you guys go check out 5 Till Midnight. Last night I interviewed Luke, who is a co-host on 5 Till Midnight. Interviewed Typo a couple weeks ago. And I was on their show a couple weeks ago as well, Biting the Bullet. So yeah, 5 Till Midnight, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on our channel on YouTube. If you look up 5 till midnight, you'll find it. Yes, Tommy, thank you. Cognitive Vigilance, obviously, every Thursday, 8:30 p.m. Eastern time, or at least we try to make it that work. And this show 2 days a week. I haven't decided what I'm exactly going to do next week. Like I said, I'll have a Sunday coffee show where you guys can drop by, and I try to keep it a little bit more casual, and it seems like you guys really like that. But anyways, I'm going to close this one out. Thank you guys so much for hanging around, and until next time, take care.